in here.
Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Ha! Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Lose control, a body and soul. Don't move.
All right. Well, I am really excited because we have a very busy day here. We got lots of interviews. And, in fact, my assistant, she was telling me, Kim, you got some really good talk today. So I am so excited that you have joined us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I am your host, and I welcome you. I welcome my friend Jeannie Michael from Valley Alarm, always keeping us safe at all of our places, right?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, you know, God, I want to, is it okay if I share?
You know, I know
you're going through some tough times with your, you know, mother-in-law, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all just, that's one of the things that I love to share of our journeys here, because sometimes somebody else is going through that. And, anyways, I want to welcome, everyone here to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so excited you're here. A positive way to start your day. And, I want to let you know all the different ways of, listening to us. One is to call up and talk to Matt here at 805-639-0008. And, we love your comments. We want to talk about what's going on in your lives because, you know, when we all talk about it, it just helps our journey so much.
That's
and,
right.
And really, it's all about connecting.
The sharing just means so much, and you actually learn so much from each other.
You really do, and I think that that's one of the things that, you know, everybody should be in a support group. Everybody should have their support team around, and I am so glad if I'm that for you. I hope that it feels good at the end of my show. And I want to remind you, if for any reason you miss any part of my show, you can listen from 1 to 2. Also, TuneIn Radio is a great another free app that on all of our smartphones. So that's another thing, TuneIn Radio. Also, Twitter. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. I have a challenge right now to get all my likes up to 500 people, and I'm on my way there. So go to Kim Pagano Show and like us. Like us. In fact, I posted all the guests today. I've been trying to do that so I can really reach out to more people. Of course, I'm connected with Valley. Yeah, Ventura Breeze. I'm also so great newspaper out in Ventura. Everything you want to know out there. Also, Coffee News. I'm part of that. Parent Click. We're working on getting out there, and they'll be a part of my show. I can't wait to have them join us. And you know, if you're out there and you want to connect with me, give me a call. And when our show plays from 1 to 2. And also any other time that you want to get in touch with us at 805-419-0008. One thing I want to remind everybody, he's actually a friend of mine and been on my show, Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones. He's the founder of the International Center for Spiritual Living in Simi Valley and the author of Art of Uncertainty. And he's going to be speaking tonight at the Center of Spiritual Living over in Westlake. And I'm going to try and get out there, but I do want to, you know, he's just a really amazing man and a really positive guy. So definitely if you can go out there, it's over off of 880 Hampshire Road in Thousand Oaks. And the phone number there, if you need any information, is 495-0105.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, there's a lot of problems in our world right now.
I wish I could go.
He might not have all the answers, but he's really got a direction, so definitely check that out. And today on our show, we're going to be talking to Dr. Richard Davidson, and he is the emotional life of your brain. That's going to be really interesting. You know, my brain works really hard at night.
My early in the morning for me.
Oh, see, you got the early morning one. Okay. And then we're going to be also talking to Rich, also Dr. Rich, and he spells his name different, R-I-T-C-H, which is cool, Iach, and his book is Real Leaders Don't Boss. And I kind of like mm-hmm. that because, you know, to be a true leader, you just have to inspire, not tell everybody what you need, what you have to do, you know. Yeah. You might want to tell them what you need, but
there's a way to
you're not a bossy.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. And we've got Tenny McCartney, and she is an addiction expert, and we're going to talk about Shades of Hope. And so they talk about whether you're struggling with food, alcohol, relationships, shopping. Are you a shopaholic? No.
Yeah.
Really the base of it is self-esteem. And so we've got lots to talk about in an hour. I need more time. Help.
I think you need more time.
Yeah. And I had an amazing time yesterday. We went down to Palm Springs. It was my husband's birthday.
Right. Once again, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yep. He's going to take advantage of the whole year. I know it.
What's his birthday week?
That's right. So when his starts, mine ends. Or maybe we could just do it together. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, we had a great time. I got to see my dad down there, and he's got this great consignment store down there, M&B Consignment, down in Desert Springs. So you got to check it out if you're ever out there. It's so fun to kind of go and see what. You know, yesterday, some lady came in, and it was this really cool. I used to collect these, believe it or not, pigs. And this thing was so heavy. It was a copper, but he had wings. And if pigs could fly, she dreamt about it and came back for it. And so it was really cool. I'm like, okay, how do we make this work for you, you know? So, but anyways, great deals down there. So, and it got a little windy down there, but it's just amazing.
I'm going to go by there because we have a big convention coming up.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And I know, have our next guest on, but I want to talk about, because I know you're getting stuff together for your mother-in-law to move into a new home out
just
here closer to you, right? Yeah, and I know there's a lot of struggles that go with that. Anyways, well, I want to welcome Dr. Richard Davidson, and your book is The Emotional Life of Your Brain. Can't wait to hear about this. Richard, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And where are you calling from?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. Everything okay out there?
Things are great.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, so tell us a little bit of your background and what we're going to be talking about.
I'm a neuroscientist and a psychologist by training, and this book is the culmination of 30 years of neuroscientific research on emotion in the brain.
Okay. Now, I mean, it's complicated, correct?
It's complicated, but the book really is around one basic question which has motivated my entire career, which is to better understand why some people are more vulnerable to life's slings and arrows and other people appear to be more resilient. What is it about their brains which result in those differences, and how can we move people to a more positive direction so that they can respond in a healthier and more adaptive way?
Wow, okay. And that is true, because there are people that can kind of just mull through things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were just talking about this yesterday, the different laws of different ways that we can get through our life. And then there's people that the littlest thing knocks them down, right?
That's very true. And what is different about this book and our work is that it's directly based upon hard-nosed neuroscientific research, which has helped us to understand the brain circuits that give rise to different dimensions of emotional style that affect why we may respond more strongly or less strongly to a particular kind of emotional challenge. Also the idea that the brain exhibits what neuroscientists call plasticity, which means it can change in response to experience or in response to training. So we can actually more intentionally take responsibility for our own brains and cultivate a healthier quality of mind.
Well, you know, Dr. Jeannie here. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, but what
I can hardly hear you. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Maybe yeah, I don't think she's on.
Is my mic on? Hello?
Ah, there you go. Now okay. Can you hear her now?
Can you hear me?
A little better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
How about that? Can you hear me
much
now?
Better. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay, what I was going to ask is, it seems like it would also further complicate all these emotions and how you've been raised and who you're around, your environment, and that too would have, that's a whole other aspect of how you would react to situations, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is ways to rearrange your environment. To help promote a more positive emotional style, if that really seems like the easiest and best thing to do under the circumstances.
Now that makes sense. Now, what do you do when someone's been, you know, having the same habits and you know that they do for like 60 years or more? That's got to be really a hard thing. Like I'm thinking of the older generation, you know, where they just, to change their ways it's almost impossible, right?
Well, yeah, Jeannie is actually, I know what you're referring to, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about your mother-in-law. She's just mm-hmm. moving out here from being, you know, living on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's, you know.
90 years old.
Right.
And this is a big change for her. And also just to adapt to a new way of letting go. Let somebody else do the checkbook. Let somebody. And it really is hard for her because for 60 years, she's been in charge and she does it. And she honestly can't, her brain is like wired to.
You're referring to something I think very important and very interesting. And there's absolutely no question, and it's one of the things I talk about in the book, we know from neuroscientific research that kids are more able to change their brain compared to older adults.
Exactly.
And so one of the important thrusts of my own more recent research is to take a lot of these ideas into younger and younger children. And see if we can incorporate, starting in preschool, in the curriculum, in preschool, ways to cultivate healthier emotional styles, qualities like kindness and mindfulness at that age. And it turns out that kids 3 and 4 years old really can learn this quite easily and perhaps much more easily than older adults. So I think that's an important conclusion, although I would also quickly add that the brain exhibits plasticity throughout life. And so while it may be more difficult to change when you're older, it's not impossible.
Wow. And if anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Dr. Richard Davidson, and your book is The Emotional Life of Your Brain. And, you know, it's interesting because can we gauge ourselves of what our brain, I mean, you know, a lot of people tell us what we're doing, but yet at the same time, maybe we're not aware of it.
Yes, and that's a very important question. And the first and most important ingredient, if you wish to change your emotional style, is to become more aware of it. And in the book, I actually provide a simple set of questionnaires which you can take yourself to assess where you fall on each of the six dimensions of emotional style that I described.
Wow, that's great.
Get a real indication from that.
That's what I was looking at, assessing your emotional style.
Yes.
Right. That's
exactly
where,
right.
That's exactly where I
put. So that will help you later in life when you, because we all do. Isn't it true we all go through that past when you get, it could hit at 70s, 80s, but your brain does sort of slow down, right?
No.
Well, there are no questions. No questions. The brain changes with age, and in certain respects, it slows. There are other kinds of qualities which actually may become enhanced with aging.
Wow.
That are positive qualities. So it is a complicated picture.
Right.
And it's not the case that everything declines with aging.
So you can actually help improve your brain for later in life if you start now.
No question. No
great.
Question. And it's just like physical exercise.
Oh,
everyone would agree that if you engage in the regular practice of physical exercise and do it regularly, it's going to have long-term consequences, particularly if you keep doing it. And the same is true with mental exercise.
Uh-huh.
So let's go through. So there are unique patterns that affect the way we think, correct?
Yes, unique patterns that affect the way we think and feel.
Okay. What would a couple of those be?
So, for example, in the book, one of the ones I described is called resilience. And resilience refers to how quickly or slowly you recover from adversity.
Mm.
So if something bad happens, and we're now talking about things that happen to everyone, ordinary things. Let's say you have an argument with your spouse or your boss. For some people, the consequences of that can last a full day, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
They ruminate over it, and they keep turning it over and over in their mind, perseverate over it. Their negative emotion just persists.
Uh-huh.
For other people, they're able to shrug it off and get back to baseline very, very quickly. It turns out that people differ in that style, and those differences have been traced to specific brain circuits, and I describe methods that can be used to actually change that pattern if you find it's not working for you.
So that does, you in your book, you do describe things?
Yes.
Oh, there, great.
There's a whole set of simple exercises that you can do to change these different dimensions of
You know, and I'm going to have you back because this is really interesting, and I think this is very valuable. But in my life, you know, I remember when I was younger, the littlest thing would kind of set me off, right? But then now it's like, seriously, I don't have enough time or energy. And, you know, so I look at it, is this going to change my life? Is this going to be, you know, life-threatening? Okay, no, we'll deal with it later. Or we'll, you know what I mean? I kind of look at it and grade it on how I want it to handle my life.
Sure. Well, you have more perspective on it now.
That's right.
Which can provide some degree of control.
Right. And so, but I mean, emotionally, you know, I mean, there's people that are hot-tempered and they kind of mellow out after a while,
yes.
Right? So there's different things like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, and so there are natural changes that people go through as they age at different developmental stages. But, you know, some people change more than other people. And the basic message in the book is that one formula does not fit all. There's a diversity of emotional styles, and what works for one person may not be the best thing for another person.
And the other thing in your book that I'm hearing is whichever the shoe fits with you, that's a good reason to read your book so you can make some changes now.
That's absolutely true.
Right, and the earlier, you know, a lot of people say after a lot of years you mellow out, right?
Right.
You can learn to mellow out earlier.
Right, you don't have to wait.
There you go.
Okay, sold. I'm going to go buy it today.
There you go. And where do we find your book?
You can find it any place books are sold, in bookstores or online. You can also go to my website, richardjdavidson.com, which will provide more information about the book and research related to it.
Okay.
Wonderful.
And you know what? I'm going to have you back because I think that we just kind of tipped the top of this book, you know, but I think there's a lot more information that would be valuable.
I'd be happy to return.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here and being
welcome.
One of
thank
our guests.
You for having me.
You got it.
Have a good day.
You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a really quick break from my sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Rich, I believe it is, and Real Leaders Don't Boss. So stay with us. And our phone number here is 805-639-0008. If you have a question, feel free to call us. All right, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone. You know what? I just found a couple extra T-shirts here, and they are from our coach, our action coach, Joe LaSalle, that was in here yesterday, and I would love to give those away. I think he gave away two yesterday, but he had left me a couple here. So 805-639-0008. I'll take caller number 2 and 3, and they've got some positive on here. It's he comes up with all these amazing quotes, and this one is, "Your true nature is waiting for you to notice." I've got an extra large and a large, and if you are interested in getting one of those, give us a call here.
They're pretty powder blue.
Yeah, 805-639-0008. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Right now, we actually have Rich, and how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Ike?
Ike.
Okay, Ike.
Ike.
And I'm really excited. This is a great book, Real Leaders Don't Boss, Inspire, Motivate, and Earn Respect from Employees, and Watch Your Organization Soar. This is so smart. This is what I really believe is a true leader. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself and your book.
Well, the book, most importantly, I think, the proceeds from the sale of the book are being donated, Kim, to not-for-profit organizations that are caring for wounded veterans, men and women who served in Iraq or Afghanistan. And I'm hoping that this book will be of help to young people getting into their organizational life, to middle-aged people and to older people, to people in families. I think it's pretty practical, and it's been a product that's been in the making for about 2 years now. And what I've tried to do is profile a number of people who, for whom I have great respect, who have been team players. I think leadership is a team sport. It's a term that I like to use, and so I hope that it will be useful.
You know, I totally agree with you, and that's something on my show. You know, it's all positive talk, but I always say you need your team around you.
I have
a team of family. I have a team of friends. I have a team at the station. That's what it is. It's people working together that have your best interest in you. Uh-huh. And I would never want to work in a business or, you know, or own a business. We own a business that we're not a team. This is it. We all look good or we all look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that, and I love what you're doing. Are you a veteran?
I am.
You are.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for what you've done, and I really appreciate that. And I think that there's more. My daughter, her boyfriend just came back from Afghanistan, and I don't think there's enough out there for us to say thank you. And there's nothing for them to come back. I see him struggling, you know, through different, you know, emotions, and it's hard. You go out there and then you come back here, and I think they need more. So I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm definitely going to stand behind this.
Well, thank you. I think the needs are pretty significant. And locally, you know, we have a wonderful person, an actor by the name of Gary Sinise and the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Do I love Gary Sinise? I mean, he is just so awesome.
Doing wonderful things. And, of course, there are other organizations like the Wounded Warriors Project and Veterans Homes. And so there are organizations that are devoted to this. And hopefully there'll be a few books sold and we can make a contribution to those organizations.
Well, I'm going to buy one right away.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what I'll do is I'll have you post this on my Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have you post this, and I'll share this with all my listeners. And this is something I want to stand behind. I really believe in what our women and men do out there to help our country.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We need to help them their families. So where do we get it, first of all? Let's start there so everybody can write that down.
It's available on Amazon.com. It's also available online with Barnes & Noble. There are copies in different bookstores, I'm told.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's pretty easy.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
So, perfect. Now, here's a question. How do you define what it means to be a real leader?
I think leaders teach. It's a term that's not often used by a lot of people. But if you think about some of the most influential people in your life, typically they've been teachers, not formally trained classroom teachers, but they help employees excel. They're the kinds of people who instill trust.
Mm-hmm.
When they evaluate your performance, they don't mislead you. They're honest and they're candid. Team behaviors are teachable. We often think about honor codes. The military academies and some independent colleges have honor codes, but you can't leave that sort of thing to chance. You have to show them, remind them, counsel people what an honor code is, just as an example. Unfortunately, I think we live in a world where the word compromise has become a dirty word in some quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons why leadership, I think, is a team sport is consensus often requires compromise, and consensus decisions are typically higher quality decisions than those made by an individual. So real leaders are people who set an enviable example. They volunteer first.
They also do what they say.
They follow through.
Yes,
and I know that my husband, our business at Valley Alarm, as everybody knows by now who listens to this show, my husband, I have to say something. I'm just so proud of him because he just does this automatically. I mean, he doesn't demand respect, but he does. It's like people respect him because if he tells them this is the direction our company is going to go, they see it happen before their eyes. And he does little things like holiday and Christmas cards. You know, the all of our employees look forward to getting that Christmas card. We put $100 cash like bonus in each one. But more than that, they want to hear what is happening. What is he going to say about me? Because he gives them a mini review in their Christmas card. And you know, it's praise and criticize, but mainly praise. And believe me, they look forward to that.
Well, I would say he's definitely one of those real leaders, and mm-hmm. you know, real leaders don't play favorites. They reinforce the value of each member of their squad, their team, their business, whatever it might
be.
And the best leaders are able to determine what the individual needs of employees are. I remember, if I can give you a quick example, I remember when our older son was a freshman in high school, and he came home one day and he said, "Dad and Mom, I want to be able to play football." Well, we had played catch several times, but he had never played touch football or an organized game of football. So he went out, and he apparently wasn't very good, and the coach just screamed at him. And after the first practice, his freshman year, told him to pack up his gear and get off the field. And he came home, and he was furious. He was absolutely
Was he mad or crushed? Because that's
he was angry.
Okay, I like that.
So he told us what the coach told him and yelled at him, actually screamed at him. And my wife used to say, well, you know, at that point in his life, he wasn't sure what overdrive meant. That was a term my wife used. He didn't know what he really could do. Well, I didn't particularly care for the language that the coach used. But the point is, the coach got through to him. He went back the next day, and he said to us before he left school that next morning, he said, I will prove to him that I have what it takes.
You know, that's it, too, because that coach, what he did was wake him up.
Yeah,
and,
I love
and
that.
And that's another type of bossing when you say, you know, in your book, that's another type. You also have to have the sternness and the firmness. You can't let, like, for instance, if you say, like, we have, you know, service techs, and you'll see one guy try to break the rule and come and maybe didn't shave that day. Well, you know, my husband's the first one that says, hey, what? You didn't shave? Wait, come here. Come on. Come with me. And he takes him right into the bathroom. He goes, I've got this perfect thing for you. Here's a razor. And
well,
you know,
well, and it's really true. We're very blessed. I mean, to live in Southern California, where John Wooden became a household word.
Yes, he was in our house.
John Wooden was many things, but most importantly, he was a teacher, not only basketball, but he taught players about life. But he had discipline.
Yes, he did.
He had rules. He had structure. And if you violated it, you think you were dealt with accordingly. And so I think it is important that Jack Welch used to say, the
I like him too.
CEO of General Electric, evaluate people, but before you evaluate them, get to know them. Figure out what their buttons are.
That's
some
right.
Some people need an arm around their shoulder. Some need a kick in the derriere.
I love this. I love what we're talking about. I just want to remind everybody, if anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to, are you a doctor?
PhD.
PhD.
You can just call me Rich.
Okay, Rich Ike. And his book is Real Leaders Don't Boss, Inspire, Motivate, Earn Respect from Employees, and Watch Your Organization Soar. But also the proceeds go to, can you tell us again?
Yes, not-for-profit organizations that are caring for U.S. men and women who served in Iraq or Afghanistan.
What a great thing.
Great cause, great cause. So I'm going to be posting this on my book, on my Facebook, so that everybody can get a copy of this. It goes to a great cause. So I think that we need to stand behind it. So now, what is the difference that you believe between a boss and a leader?
Well, that's a great question, I think. Bosses sometimes get a bad rap, but I think there are some distinctions. Real leaders, to me, have a set of guiding principles, and each person is different, and so his or her principles are slightly different. But they help people see that there's a goal, not simply to make a profit in a for-profit business or organization, for example, but that there's a higher purpose. Leaders really get to know their staffs, their people. They communicate with great clarity and honesty. They're also incredibly skilled at listening. They never stop learning. A boss may be interested in a shorter-term goal, accomplishment. A real leader looks longer-term. He or she also knows when to get out of the way. There's an old, I think it was a Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu, who said, to lead, you walk beside people. You walk along with them.
That's so true.
Real leaders make themselves readily available. They're connected with their employees. They're not aloof. They don't sit in the so-called C-suite and sort of direct from higher on. They know when to get involved and get down into the trenches, but they also know when to get out of the way. So they have that awareness about them as to what will be most effective. And most importantly to me, they know the difference between character and integrity. For me, character is one's moral and ethical code. Integrity is a little different. It's how you live according to that code. And I think we've seen far too many examples in the past decade or two where there have been CEOs of major organizations who have acted in ways which were either inappropriate, illegal, immoral, and I think a real leader makes sure that he doesn't or she doesn't sort of cross that line.
That's
they
right.
don't compromise for personal gain, and so they live lives of integrity. And when that exists in an organization, I think other things being equal, the people can accomplish just about anything.
You know, that's one of the things. I have four children, and I don't talk about our religion. I don't talk about, you know, how much money we have, how much money we don't have. I talk about integrity because I really think that outweighs everything in life. And, you know, from when they were really little, they used to say, Mommy, what's integrity again? When nobody's looking, you do the right thing. I mean, at all expenses.
Great definition.
Yes.
I mean, that's it. And, you know, and I think that if you can value who you are as having integrity, it's going to shine through anything and everything.
Right. It follows
really is.
Through
everything. So, now, in a real leader, you talk about the eight essentials of effective leadership. What are those?
It's about not sort of jumping out of one skin. It's being calm. It's being under control. There's few things that will disrupt an organization more than a leader who loses it, if you will, because when that happens, it undermines performance. As we've talked about, real leaders have what I call a central compass. They do what's right. They know what's right. They can distinguish between right and wrong.
And they follow that course.
Yes, they follow through, as you were saying earlier. They communicate with great clarity. I mean, an organization has to have a vision, and it needs to be pretty simple, I think. It needs to be repeated quite often. But it also needs to be something that people will rally around. The great president of the University of Notre Dame said something about that the real essence of leadership is that you have to have vision. And then he said, you can't blow an uncertain trumpet. And that was Ted Hesburgh, Father Hesburgh, who was, of course, a marvelous leader for years at Notre Dame and then in a number of public offices as well. So those are some of the eight essentials. It also encompasses supporting people, inspiring them, valuing them. As we've talked about, knowing when to get out of the way, when to lead, when to get out of the way. Accessibility, which we've also talked about. But there are a couple of other factors. Real leaders are humble. They don't care who gets the credit.
Right. Oh, that is
that's
so
a big
true.
One.
That is my husband to the T and many other great leaders. You just
don't care. Well, you married the right guy.
I think I did, too. In fact, I get upset with him sometimes. I said, doesn't that bother you that that guy's taking the credit for that? And he said, no, not at all. I've done my job.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's the humility, I think, that's sometimes lacking.
Wow. And now I know you've been, I guess a career with the Marines and the military, right? What can we learn from that?
Well, I had the opportunity when I was just getting out of college to join the Navy. And during those 2 years on active duty, and this was during the Vietnam era, I had the opportunity to work in a Marine brig on a naval base, and the Marines were pretty much in charge of, well, they were in charge of the brig. And we had lots of prisoners, Army and Marine prisoners, and Navy prisoners. What the Marines do, and I guess, you know, I'm not one who thinks that the military is for everyone, but I had an incredible experience. And then after I got out on active duty, I was out for about a year, and then I went back in as a reservist, and so I served for another 28 or so years.
Oh my gosh.
In the Naval Reserve, and had an opportunity to travel extensively and had met some really wonderful people. But to your point, Marines, the Marine Corps, I think more than any other branch of the military, understands leadership.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving young men and women at 17, 18, 19, 20 years of age incredible responsibilities that people with MBAs don't have that opportunity until they're in their 30s. But
that's Marines, really true.
Marines teach. As I said before, real leaders in my mind teach. Well, Marines teach. They don't leave anything to chance.
Mm-mm.
Their core values are reinforced over and over and over. They also do something that the other services, I think, are now trying to capture more and more is having young Marines understand the legacy, the history, the culture of the Marine Corps, as well as embracing the future. You know, real leaders constantly learn. They're constantly developing new ideas, testing new ideas.
Marines, they're constantly learning. you know?
Well, yes, and Marines get opportunities to learn, to try, to fail, to get up, to learn, to not repeat mistakes. And most of us, I think, develop greater self-confidence with the greater number of experiences that we have under our belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Marines are wonderful mentors, officers that I've had the opportunity to interact with.
Isn't there that saying, it's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all?
There you go. That's a great, you know, Rich, this was amazing, and I want to recommend to everybody your book, Real Leaders Don't Boss. And Rich understands leadership from many perspectives, military and civilian. He knows what matters and how to separate the practical from the theoretical. Is that right? And
can I say you guys are really kind. I truly don't consider myself an expert. I would say more aptly described as a student of leadership, but I appreciate your thoughts.
Hey, you know what? We're all learning all the time, and that's what it's all about. But I love what you've put in your book. And again, I'd love you to post it on my Facebook, Kim Pagano Show. Like us, too, at the same time. We're trying to get, 500 people or more on my Facebook so I can share more stuff and, just get out there. Positive talk. This is another way of adding value. So I appreciate you being a guest on my show.
It's been a real pleasure. I thank you very, very much.
Enjoyed you much.
All right. Stay with us. You are listening to AM 1400 KKZZ. It's all positive talk. And it is the Kim Pagano Show. I'm on every morning from 8 to 9 and then again from 1 to 2. And I love that you are here with us starting your day in a positive way. So give us a call if you have something that we're talking about that resonates with your life at 805-639-0008. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Tenny. She is an addiction expert. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no pressure, no obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Remember to visit the show's official website at www.thekimpaganoshow.com. You can podcast prior programs as well as check out articles and other tidbits from previous interviewees. It's all at the official website of The Kim Pagano Show, www.thekimpaganoshow.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Wow, we've got some amazing guests here, haven't we?
Oh, I'm my head's spinning from the last two.
I know. And now I'm really excited to talk to Tenny McCarty. And her book is Shades of Hope, A Program to Stop Dieting and Start Living. And whether you're struggling with food, alcohol, relationships, shopping, or bottom basement self-esteem, now is the time to interrupt the blame and shame and guilt. And Tenny, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Kim, for having me on your show.
Good morning, Tenny.
Yeah. You know, we've had an amazing day, and really this is what I love to give to my listeners every day.
Have a co-host with you?
That's me. This is Jeannie. And you know what? All my friends are my co-hosts. They support my show, and it's just a time, you know, when I first got on, they're like, you work too hard. And I'm like, please come on and be with me. This is our time. So I have all my friends as my co-hosts, and I really thank and enjoy them.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about you and your book.
Well, a little bit about me is that I lived in addiction all my life. My mother was a prescription drug addict and alcoholic and actually never found recovery. And I became her mother. She was an orphan, and I became her mother at age eight. I started taking care of. I loved and adored. I was obsessed with my mother. And then my dad was, I live in West Texas, and he was a law enforcement officer, your typical white Stetson hat, you know, hand tool, cowboy boots, good-looking man. And he was such a womanizer, and so, and he was a very violent. So I lived in a lot of violence and a lot of addiction. And something very traumatic happened when I was 4 years of age that I witnessed that. Now, people can have addiction and not have drama in their life, or, you know, but for me, mine started definitely at age four. I shared a secret with my dad about some things my mother was doing with a man, and I witnessed him cutting this man's head, his throat, from one ear to the other.
Oh,
and I lived in that guilt until
wow.
I was over, till I was 35 years of age. I carried that. And my dad, in order to give me the, I started telling him the secrets about her affair, and I was almost five, but he gave me a sack of candy, and I started eating sugar, and I never got enough until I came to L.A. for treatment 26 years ago, September 19th, 1985. I was an obese child. I weighed in the first grade basically what I weigh today, about 138, 139. For a first grader, that's a lot of weight.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Teenager, young adult, and then in my adult life, I started finding out ways to lose the weight. So if that's all people want to know, I could tell them how to lose weight. Five different times I would lose 100 to 125 pounds, and I would gain it within the same year until the last time. And the last time I got up my little pea brain and figured out, I didn't even know the word bulimia, and I started practicing bulimia to keep from gaining all of that weight back.
Oh, no.
It didn't work completely, but for 13 years I kept my weight down to, it hovered around 200. You know, 180 to 200 pounds through the bulimia. And it almost killed me. My liver was shutting down. My colon was shutting down. But in the meantime, I had become a drug and alcohol therapist and was program director of a treatment center. And a young man that I hired from California, his wife was a recovering bulimic, and he, in essence, did an intervention. He noticed he could recognize my symptoms. I had liver spots, cracks in the corners of my my mouth. My face was brown from the liver failure. Hair falling out. And he, you know, it's abusive to point out a problem without the solution. And Alan didn't. He handed me a book, Fat is a Family Affair, by Dr. Judy Hollis. And Dr. Hollis was starting a eating disorder unit in L.A. the following Tuesday. I didn't even know they treated folks like me. I didn't get there on Tuesday, but that I got there on Wednesday, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it was the best. And everything I'm about today came from being an inpatient treatment. And in fact, I just now talked to Judy and thanked her one more time for God working through her, literally saved my life. I didn't know I had a disease. I didn't know I had an addiction. And I'm grateful that I went to a treatment center that treated it as an addiction. You know, eating disorders are twofold, like any addiction. It has that physical component,
right,
but it's also a mental and emotional disease. And most people with eating disorders, they do not talk about the mental and emotional side. And if you don't treat that, we'll go back into the eating disorder or switch over to another addiction.
Right. And, Tenny, you know, I thank you so much for bringing your feelings and your, you know, that's what it's all about on my show, is our journeys and how our journeys can help somebody else. So I appreciate you putting everything on the line here with us. And I want to remind anybody that's just tuning in, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Tenny McCarty, and she's an addiction expert, not only with her book, but also with your life, right? You've gone through it yourself. And I really believe that we have to go through it. We can learn it, but when we go through it, then we really can feel what people's, you know, what we can help them with mm-hmm. because we've lived it.
Take and, one to know one.
Right. And your book is Shades of Hope, a program to stop dieting and start living. So can you give us some tips? And I know that, you know, this is a lifelong thing, but where does somebody start if they can recognize anything that you're talking about that
the
they can
see
with them?
The one thing is people, if they have an eating disorder, they must get help for it. It's progressive. It's not going to get better, and it's so much more than just losing the weight. And we also treat anorexia and bulimia. It's not about the not eating or the overeating. It's what's going on in your life. So the best thing to do is to get with a good eating disorder therapist. Come here, and, you know, I do a six-day intensive still myself. I still do that. You know, not everyone needs inpatient treatment. But one of the most important things is get with someone and start being honest with someone about what you're doing around the food, because we get very dishonest about it. We hide what we're doing. And so it's important to eat with intention, eat out in the open. If you're going to eat a candy bar, eat it in front of someone. Mm-hmm. It's that sneakiness that gets...
Ah, good advice right there. That's great.
Do it with intention.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now, what about, you know, you mentioned so many different things. There's food, alcohol, relationships. Do you see people with all those different things? Bottom, basement, self-esteem. I think that's really the bottom of everything, don't you?
Absolutely. I've never worked with an addict yet that came in feeling good about themselves.
Yeah. So they try to drown themselves out of that thought. They try to, you know, put themselves out of the feeling. I mean, I know mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. nowadays we're seeing, which, you know, really started when you were young, so many children that are, you know, numbing their feelings.
That's what's sad right there.
And as adults, we need to look at that. It's an epidemic. It's huge.
And with the children, it is about, you got to work with the parents. It's got to change from the top down. You know, children are just doing what they were taught, and you know, the food has got to change.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because you said how they gave you a bag of sugar, and to me, sugar is like cocaine. It's very, very addictive, and it's in almost every food we see.
Yeah, and it's not for everyone. That's where everyone has to make their own decision. When I first came home from treatment and started in this business, I thought everybody was addicted to sugar.
I found out
they're not. It depends on your brain and your body chemistry,
uh-huh.
and everyone has got to figure that out for themselves. You know, some people, I've worked with people that it's high carbs, you know, will be their thing. Some uh-huh. people get addicted to, you know, potatoes. There's no good or bad food. It depends on what the food does for each individual. That's why we do what we call a detoxifying food plan here. We get them off of all, we take them off of all sugar, all wheat. It's a very detoxifying type food plan. And this is the only center that I know of that doesn't allow people to smoke. We take them off of everything.
No, I know that there's a lot of centers that don't, you know. I mean, and I think that's so hard is mm-hmm. that they, but then what happens after they leave? They go
right.
and start smoking again,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're trying to tackle two habits.
Yeah.
Not everyone does.
No,
we take them off for 42 days.
Okay.
And if they want to smoke while they're in treatment, we refer them somewhere else.
Mm.
This is not the only way. You know, there's other ways. We're not that arrogant to say, if you don't come here, you won't recover. We refer them somewhere where they can continue to smoke. But ethically, I don't feel good about bringing people in for 42 days and charging them money and let them practice an addiction while they're here.
I think that's a great, yeah.
Good point.
I think that's good. I think that everybody should do that. I mean, really.
The only way that we're going to get that is when insurance companies stop paying where they can practice an addiction. And when insurance companies stop paying in treatment centers where they let people smoke, you're going to see a change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, where are you at?
We're in Buffalo Gap, Texas, a town of 464 people in the center of Texas, 8 miles south of Abilene, 2.5 hours west of Fort Worth,
uh-huh.
right in the middle.
And now, do you have, what are your ages?
The ages? 17 up.
Oh, 17 up. So you're an adult.
I used to treat adolescents, and it's just hard to mix, to do both. But we make good referrals. There are some good places today that's treating that are treating adolescents and children, and we always make good referrals.
Mm-hmm. And now, what is it, since you, your book, what are we going to find in your book? We have a minute left, if you could tell us.
What you're going to find is that how to begin to recognize an eating disorder and how to start treating it, and to know if they need more help than what the book offers. And it's, it is a disease. That's what I'm preaching, that it's more than just the food that a symptom. The weight in the food is the symptom.
Okay.
That's the physical part, but the main problem lies between our two ears and our thinking. It's a spiritual problem. We've lost ourselves in the addiction.
Okay. And, Tenny, where do we find your book?
PennyMcCarty.com mm-hmm. or Amazon.com
okay.
or any bookstore.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, we are at the end of our show, and I thank all of you for joining us today. And there wasn't even enough time to get any of our callers
in. It goes
in,
too quick.
But I if you have something or you want to know a book that I just talked about or something, give me a call at 805-419-0008. And again, you can listen from 1 to 2. Jeannie, thank you so much.
Oh,
I know
you're welcome.
Off to great topics, wasn't it?
It was awesome.
Gosh, yeah.
My head's spinning.
I know. And Matt, thank you for our board. And of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. The key to reaching high levels of performance and productivity is to develop the lifelong habit of tackling your major tasks first thing in each morning. And I hope that, you hear some of the things that we're talking about here, that you're going to make a goal to make a difference in your life, or if you see somebody else's life that's going through this, maybe, talk to them, help them. And that's what my show's all about, is feeling good, helping people to be a better part of our life. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I thank you. I thank all my sponsors, and I thank you for being a part of our show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.